This is the Warcast Reforged, Tales from the Battleline, a podcast about Keyforge, a unique deck game from Ghost Galaxy. Your hosts are Tobin Opus and Jason Wallace.
Episode 31, Vaults and Malords.
All right, welcome. I'm Tobin Opus.
And I'm Jason Wallace.
And we are back. We are back from Vault Tour. We have Vault Tour Roseville. We have recovered. It was our plan, loosely, I took the wave recorder and everything to Roseville. It was our plan to record while we were there. But honestly, we got to the airport and like, well, should we break out a couple of decks of sealed and display? And yep. We did. And we, after a couple of games, we looked at our watch and we're like, well, we don't have the hour plus that we need to record something. So we're just going to fly and we'll record later. So here we are.
Yep.
2 weeks out, or a week out from Roseville, 2 weeks out from our last recording. I hope everyone enjoyed our April Fool's episode. I know we had fun with it. And that's where we're starting a completely new format. Well, no, not really format. We're just kind of adding some structure.
Segments to these
episodes of ours, really leaning into the Tales from the Battle Line. So,
yeah,
not to delay any longer, we're going to go into it.
Part one, the beginning.
All right. So my Vault Tour experience, we're going to go through this in kind of sections. I'll take my piece first and Jason can talk about his perception of how the fuck he handled my behavior and my attitudes. And because I tell you folks, well, okay. So
let's get to it
first. Yeah. Sealed. Right. So I didn't get anything that I saw perceptively good. Now, one of the interesting parts they said as we were opening, or right before we opened our sealed, was that you cannot use any outside information. You can wand it into the master vault, but you can't check, I don't know, say SAS, right? You can't load them into those external helpers to help you identify what the pods, you know, what the highest SAS pods might be,
right?
Or what the highest SAS decks might be. So we couldn't do that. So nothing on there, which was interesting because I think that was a good question to ask.
Yes.
And it was Nova who asked it, which was awesome.
Yep.
Because I do think that was happening at KFC last year.
Well, and probably at the Vault Tours too.
And maybe at Vault Tours too. Yeah. So you can't do that. So I didn't get anything that was like Dr. Xylophrex with three Iron Rebels and, you know, Mars Firsts and all this stuff. Right. There's nothing like that. I didn't get any clear Geistoid stuff. I don't think I got Geistoid in any of my three sealed. I didn't. So, you know, those are in my mind, those are the two powerhouses. Equidon has some steel in it.
Yep.
But I didn't really get anything good. So I took one deck. And I swapped out one pod from it for what I thought was a better pod. It didn't go very well. I went 1-2. I win the first game.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, all right, cool. First Vault Tour win ever. This is awesome.
Finally.
I am set. Right? I'm in the sealed. This is wonderful. I'm set. Woohoo. Second game. My opponent mulls. I'm first player. So I have 7 cards. He mulligans and goes to 5 cards. And then his first turn is Tribute Collector, Valad, Tribute Collector, Echo Fly, Tribute Collector. All 5 Geistoid creatures. All 5 capture. One gets bigger. And Echo Fly, just in case you want to return whatever action card you just played to your hand, you can do that by just playing it back to your hand. Or archiving it, whatever Echofly does. So that was the nut straw. Like he mulliganed and he saw that and he's like, oh my god. And so I managed to hold him off a little bit with some Equidon steel, but he went, like, he forged his first key when he had 11 amber. He still had the 5 aggressive creatures, he might have had a 6th. So I was like, okay, well, all he's going to do here, and I had 2 amber. He was capturing all of it because of the tribute collectors and everything else.
But you can just reap out, though.
Yeah, so he reaped out. He got to 16. Or, sorry, he didn't get to 16. He got to 11 again, I think.
Mm.
And I went, that's a good game. That, like, I can't, like, I'm not going to be able to do. Like, I drew, I took my turn. I ended my turn, and I went. I shook his hand because there was nothing I was going to be able to do on the next turn if he goes Geistoid again. And I think he played like Junk Restoration.
Yeah.
Right? So he's getting Amber on the Junk Restoration, getting a card, returning the Junk Restoration to his archives or his hand, whatever Echo Flight does, and then doing it. I'm like, man alive! Right? So that was insane. And then as I was typing up these notes, so I was 1-1. As I was typing up these notes, I cannot remember my third game of Sealed. At all. Like, zero. Like, I got nothing. So, I knew I lost. I'm pretty sure I played the game pretty well. No.
That was another high roll.
Yeah,
against you.
That was another high roll. Because this is what I concluded after this Sealed tournament, folks. Is that I bring to my opponent an increased chance of getting a really good hand to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
Of the 7 games that I've played in the Vault Tour, 5 this past Vault Tour and 2 in Vegas, my opponent high rolled 5 of those 7 times. I mean, how, you know, you got 5 Geistoid creatures in an opening hand of 5, and you to have those 5,
right?
They might be the best in his deck. I was like, oh, this sucks. and then it happened. I don't know if it happened again. No, it didn't happen. It did must have happened again in the third game. Something big. They did something amazing, and I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't remember. Yeah, it's like it was you just bad. Got steamrolled.
Yeah.
Like both the second and third games, you're just like, oh, yeah. That's it.
So my Friday was done pretty quick. That's okay. Like, you know, I was really frustrated. I was tilt-ish, right? I was like, I just want to play Keyforge. I want to have a chance to play the game for at least like 6 or 7 turns. Just give me a chance to play the game instead of like deciding for me in those opening 2 turns whether or not I'm going to win. Like when you have that happen, I don't know if y'all have had, most likely if you've played enough Keyforge, you've had this happen. And it really sucks.
Especially at a Vault
Tour. This is one that counts.
Right.
Right? Oh, so frustrating. Anyhow. All right. So Archon. So I bring a war deck to the Archon tournament next day, right? We go out to dinner on Friday. Oh, no, we go out to dinner on Friday night with Tyler Parrott. We had a great time.
Yep.
Played some games with him, took him back to the hotel, played some games. It was great, great fun. He asked about Keyforge. We asked about Star Wars Unlimited. It was all that and bag of chips. So that's what we did on Friday night. Saturday, we get up. We arrive. We play Archon. And I brought a woe deck because it's got a Berserker token. It's got a Cursed Relic, so it has Amber Pips everywhere. So I can just, like, play cards, and it's not really a matter of reaping. It's a matter of playing cards with the Amber Pips, reaping every once in a while, and then killing the board with Berserkers, and then sometimes reaping with Berserkers as well.
And stealing, too.
And there's some steal in there, too. Yeah, there's 2 rogue operations.
Stalling.
2 rogue operations and a... Is it Trade Secrets? Where you discard discard any as many Equidon cards as you like and steal that many amber. So that's one. So I brought it to beat Grim Reminders. And in my first game, and I only learned this afterwards, I played Faithy, which is Faithy. Another woe deck, which is quite apparently a well-known deck. Not to me, of course. It has 3 Sandhoppers, and it has a creature in it that has 2 Ember Pips and a Draw Pip. So,
oh my,
that's a thing. So I managed. That was a game of Keyforge, right? This is one of the games where I played, and I saw the list, and I'm like, oh no, Sandhoppers. I'm gonna have to go out fast. And sure enough, I did. I got out. I got 2 keys. I even got to 6 amber on the 3rd key, but I knew that 6 amber was going to be short-lived because they had 2 houses out and another house in hand, which was Equidon.
Okay.
And I am absolutely like they had answers just on the board to get me off check.
Right.
If they didn't do anything but just play the board and not nothing in their hand, yeah. I wasn't gonna forge 2, or I wasn't gonna forge the 3rd. So that and then by then, I think I made the comment either that turn or the turn before. Then I'm like, okay, the machine is running. And I set the cards down and I just went, we're good. Right? We're good. I'm just going to sit here and watch you play your game, because it took him a while because he's hand hoppering everything and everything else. Right. Yeah. Oh, and this is Saturday. So they had announced on Friday
that's right.
that we were going to have an Archon tournament and then follow it up with an Alliance tournament. And here's the thing. Like, everybody, they said they opened registration at 9, mm-hmm. I think.
No,
10. They opened it at 10.
It started
and then they
at
11. Waited till 11 to start. And I'm like, everybody's there at 9:30. Everybody's there at 10.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Josh told us, don't be late. Be here early. Right? And he asked us, he said the same thing on Saturday night. Be here early for those of you who are playing in the top 8 on Sunday. That's mm-hmm. fine. But he said, be here early. And everybody's waiting around. And he's like, well, you know, we're going to wait till 11. And I'm like, no, run it at 10:30. Like, I think registration should be 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Because that additional half hour where we're all standing around doing nothing, and I mean nothing, is wasted time.
Oh, yeah.
It's time that we're not going to get back that day, and it's going to be pushed up, painted onto the end of the day. And it certainly was. So, I mean, I don't think we even got out of there until 10.
Alliance would need more than 30 minutes. But like Archon.
To register?
Yeah.
Why would you need Alliance to register?
Because the judges have to check the decks to make sure there's no restricted, like that they follow the correct format for the lists. They actually are checking lists.
They had to do that for all the Alliance decks?
Yeah.
Jiminy Christmas. I didn't play Alliance, so I didn't know.
So a little insight for you there, Mr. I don't play Alliance.
You
didn't devil the dark arts like I did.
Yeah. I was done. So we played Faithy, and I was in it. I played Keyforge. It was fun.
Yep.
He won.
But it was a tight game.
It was a tight game.
Yeah.
There's 0-1 in my vault. So now I'm 1-5 in my vault experience. Now remember, I've brought this deck because it's really good against Grim Reminders. My second game was against a gentleman who had opened a Vault Master, not 23 deck, but a Vault Master 24 deck the previous day.
Mm-hmm.
And he played me with it. And I'm like, well, okay, you're at 0-1, so it can't be that good. So let's look. And I don't know how. I do know how, which is control, discard, that kind of thing. I don't know who he played in the first game. But this deck had control and Sanctum. It has Doorstep to Heaven, Obey the Grim, and a couple other capture things. It had 4 routine jobs. It had an Urchin. It had a Safe House. And it had a Bad Penny. No, Urchin, Safe House, and Bone Nithing. I saw that package and I'm like, oh crap. I'm not gonna have any amber. Then I look over at the Dis House and he's got Drumble mm-hmm. and 2 or 3 other cards that are gonna make me lose amber.
Yep.
Or capture it. So I'm like, my thought literally as I'm handing him back is I'm not gonna have amber. I need to hope that the routine jobs are at the bottom of the deck.
Right.
And he doesn't draw them early. He'll steal one. Fine. Whatever. But he'll be good. I'll be fine. So what do? I race out. I go to 8. Okay. I go to 8 on turn 2. Cause I had Brobnar. I made a lot of tokens and reap with him.
Sure.
Right. And then he plays Urchin.
Mm-hmm.
And he plays Safe House. No, he plays Safe House. Doesn't play Urchin. Plays Safe House. He plays Routine Job number 1,
mm-hmm.
stealing 1. And Routine Job number 2, stealing 2 more. So he's stolen 3 from me. He's gained 1. So he's at 4. I'm at 4. I'm like, okay. He plays. We go. And if, sure enough, he gets the Urchin. And he safe houses the Urchin. and he gets the other routine job, and he gets the fourth routine job, and he's playing these in like separate turns.
Oh, yeah.
I never had Amber. It didn't matter what I did. I never had Amber, and he wasn't playing creatures.
No, so why play creatures when he could just steal all your Amber?
Yeah, it's just, and then he actually played a Drumble and he didn't capture anything because there was nothing to capture, right? Like, I think I had two Amber.
But he was in the house disc and like, well, might as well play this.
Yeah. I never had the opportunity. he opened, and this is the high roll again. I asked him, like, you drew six cards. How many routine jobs were in your opening hand? Because I literally had the idea, like, okay, I can win this if the routine jobs are buried.
Right.
Everything else I can get around. The routine jobs are hard to get around because I don't have anything to take care of to purge stuff, right?
Right, right.
And he had two in his opening hand. And I was like, well, I don't know if I would call that a high roll. So I asked him, would you call that high roll, high rolling that two routine jobs? He's like, yeah. Like, okay. This sucks. All right, so that was my Archon. That was my Archon. Now, for the rest of the time, right? First game was great. It was if a little frustrating knowing that I was like, okay, this is a machine I can't do anything about. And I built this. I brought this deck to play
right.
To play against Grim Reminders. I didn't play any Grim Reminders. It is what it is. I had the opening time the rest of the day. I decided then that I wasn't going to play Alliance, that it would just be
well. And do you also did you? You didn't even do second Amber, or did you just like one?
I
round?
Did one game of second Amber. Yeah, one game of second Amber, and I lost that.
Yeah, so you're like, I'm done.
Yeah, I'm done. I'm good. I'm good for now. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to play that deck. Right, but I went and did some commentary.
Yeah,
and that was cool. But before I did the commentary for the Alliance tournament, I played a Seal Pod. And here it is. Here's the big thing. Here's my trend, right? Because this is what happened in Vegas. I won the sealed pod.
Mm-hmm.
So I lose in the main events, but then you put me in a sealed pod and I go 3-0. I lose in sealed alliance. I went 1-2, right? I didn't wash out completely, but but then in the second in Archon I washed out. And then I go 0-3. It's a triple curse tomb deck. It had a whole lot of capture everywhere, right? So I was capturing stuff, and the one Winds of Death I have in it, guess what, folks? Curse tombs, I laugh at thee, because Winds of Death has two capture pips on it. So I can decide which ones I'm not going to purge. That's if there's anybody out there without any amber anyways.
That's nuts.
There was the second game of that one, I ended up purging something like 14 of his creatures. Or he purged them, right? Because they died. He killed them themselves,
right.
Whatever. But 14 creatures were purged. And he was struggling just to stay haunted.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
That many purged cards.
Yeah. Yeah, it was rough. So that was fun. And then from then on, I did... the commentating. I provided commentary with Nick Drazgor at Archon's Corner. We had a blast doing the stuff. It was interesting to do that. I don't know how many of you have watched the stream, but I felt like Draz and I didn't start really like working together until the second game. The first game we came in, it had already started. We were feeling a little bit off.
Right.
Like, okay, what? Huh? Providing commentary. Draz gave this kind of overall, like, here's what we expect from Alliance and for the day. So we gave that kind of intro and we kind of talked to the game a little bit. And then the second game, we really got our legs under us and did a much better job. And then we started like filling in between games because the games were so fast. People were like, it's 10 minutes of games and 20 minutes of waiting music, right? Of Muzak. Like, what's up with that? So we stuck around and did some commentary. I hope people enjoyed that. I didn't get it. I was provoked to talk about Conquest, but I didn't really get into that too much. We talked about the IP and that I think it would fit really well with in the Crucible universe,
mm-hmm.
in the Keyforge universe. But other than that, and then on Sunday to wrap it up, on Sunday I came back. I didn't provide any commentary. There were better people for that at the high level, so I bowed out there. And I wanted to play in the Menagerie tournament. I had a Menagerie deck that I had opened up on Thursday. You and I had played very briefly.
Yeah, yeah, on Thursday. Oh, God.
And yeah, it was a. I brought one deck. I brought one, only one, because I was like, this is one I'm going to play unless I one of the two that I have packed with me is going to be better. Well, I opened it up, and sure enough, it was. It had there were two packets, but there were really three in that deck. Which makes it so strong. The Total Exhaustion packet, which is all about Chosen One, Cop. It has a lot of Call of the Void. Three Azure Bays and Outposts, I think.
Yeah.
Two or three. There's a lot of artifacts in there. It had the Ultra Gravitron pod. Right, which had library access, Ultra Gravitron, and also all kinds of cool. There's some draw mechanics in there, but the library access was really it. And then there was a Brobnar pod. There was an Ultra Gravitron packet, the Total Exhaustion packet, and then there was a Brobnar not packet, but it had two Brick Nasties and Skirmishers.
That's right. Yeah, Skirmishers.
And Volca and Endless Hordes.
Yeah.
And like, so yeah, that was pretty dumb. There was one turn on Thursday night where I went, maybe I'll play this. When I played Endless Hordes, put out eight Skirmishers. I had Volca and two Brick Nasties out.
Yeah.
Oh, and a Ganger Chief. Oh no, and the Dremornaut. Yeah, it's dumb. And so I did that and I destroyed your board because they have Skirmish and Splash One.
Yep.
And I get
and
one.
Two amber a pop.
Yep, two amber per fight. So I got 12 amber on that turn and cleared your board.
Well, you got more than 12 because that was just the skirmishers that gave you 12.
That's true. Yeah, yeah.
You had other stuff too. I think you had like Berserker Slam and like, I was like, okay, yeah.
Yeah, we're done. So, and that's what I played in the Menagerie. And so the first two games went similarly. And then the third one was against Draz, my commentary partner from the previous night. And he had a target and a key abduction and a margin. So he had Genka packet.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh no, this is Genka. Okay, I got to hope that Genka, the GE, the Martian Generosity in the Genka does not come up. And he had target. He had a target, the Mars creature that archives.
So you can archive, yep.
Yeah, but he has a discard pip on it. So he could play it. Discard a card and immediately archive that card or anything else that's in this thing. So he was like,
whoa.
And he had key abduction. So he would play target. He'd discard something, play key abduction, return it to his hand. Now the key abduction wasn't triggering a thing, but he was returning it to his hand. He'd play it again.
Oh, because the target was back in the hand.
He'd archive key abduction that he just played, and then he'd do something else.
Because the target goes back and then...
Yeah. So he was doing all this and I'm like, oh no, 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 no. And I'm like, I'm just trying to rush. I know what the deck does and I'm just like, we're going to go for amber. And I got it because I got the second Brick Nasty out at one point and ran the table and got a lot of amber. And I was, in that case, right, it's better to be lucky than good. The Keyforge, the Martian Generosity was two cards from the bottom of his deck.
Oh.
And he'd only gotten through probably maybe 20 cards. Maybe he'd gotten through two-thirds of it somewhere in there.
That's why you're like, I got to just game amber and win.
Yeah. So for winning the sealed pod, I got a Roseville-tagged Vault Tour 24 deck, which is pretty cool.
Nice.
And then for winning the Menagerie, they gave us a set of tokens and then our choice of Menagerie Unchained or Grim Reminders, and I took a Grim Reminders deck.
Cool.
So, yeah, very cool, very fun. We bought some Vault Masters decks.
Yep.
Vault Master 24. I think I bought four more. I bought a fifth because I got a card for something for playing in the pod. Oh, for playing in the pod.
Yeah, for winning.
Was it winning?
Pod. Yeah, winning in the sealed pod, I think, allowed you to buy.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, I don't know how I got the yellow card.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. Anyhow, that was my Sunday. So, that was my Vault Tour. So now, it's Jason's turn.
Part two, the middle.
All right, tell us about your experience.
Oh. experience it was. I had a great time, but similar to your experience, I did not win very much. So open sealed is like, these aren't good decks. It's like all three.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So I tried to build an alliance and played it, and I won one game and then lost.
Mm-hmm.
Although I got to play Sydney again, like just like Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
Sealed alliance.
Yeah.
And round two, it's against Sydney. I'm like, this is an interesting pattern going on here.
Yeah. And to speak to that, I put two of I put all three of my decks in, and only one of them, I think one of them was like a 90 or an 88 or something like that. And then everything else, the one was a 69 and the other one was a 72. So relative to other Grim Reminders decks, mine had low SAS.
Yeah.
And the one that was the highest was the one I based everything on, and it, and I've played it a lot on TCO, and it doesn't win.
Yeah. And I think the three decks I had, the highest was 72.
Oh yeah.
Out of all
yeah.
three.
Well, and the one I had is had two curses in it. Like this deck has two curses, a spontaneity curse and a fertility curse.
Yeah. I actually, all three decks, each one had curses.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
if
yeah.
I wanted to, I could have done that, but it just like the rest of the pods sucked. I'm just like, these curses are cool. But they don't help me win the game. So
right. They just limit your, they prevent just, your opponent from winning the game.
Yeah. So I was just like, all right, whatever. And, yeah, whatever it was.
So you didn't do well. You went 0-2 sealed?
No, I won one. I won one.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I won the first game. Okay. That's why I got paired up against
Sydney,
and then I lost, and then I lost again. What else happened Friday?
That, and then Friday we went out with Tyler.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we got we went out with Tyler, and yeah, what was that one game we played where I got to play the Raptors?
Oh, Unmatched.
Unmatched. So, yeah, I got to play the Jurassic Park Raptors, which was like a preview for the next day, which I'll get to here in a moment. But Raptors are my thing.
You really like the dinosaurs.
I really like the dinosaurs. I really like the dinosaurs. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So yeah, then there's Archon, and I brought Royce's deck, one of our local players here, because leading up to the Vault Tour was... I had a great name deck, and then they nerfed Ecto Charge, and that deck just continued to lose and lose and lose and lose. So before going to the Vault Tour, that's why I'm like, I'll play this deck, because we played it on Wednesday night, and it did well. And
yeah, it did.
Yeah, like, I went 1-2 in Archon. I don't remember if I won the first or second game, but all the games were really close.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. Yeah, you're had six. Or he had six and you had six, but you couldn't get him off his six.
Yeah. Like both games I lost, it was down to the wire in Archon. It's like, you know, I lost, but it's like, unlike how your experience was going the weekend, it's like, I was playing Keyforge all weekend, so mm-hmm. I didn't mind losing as much. I would have liked to have won, but the second loss, though...
When it gets to that tug of war where you're pulling and pulling and pulling and pulling, that's where... I'm like, you're like, okay, somebody's going to win. That's fine. I played Keyforge.
Yeah, because...
Unfortunately, I haven't had a lot of that.
Yeah, and the two games I lost is like, I had two keys, and Amber, and potentially could have won. The last game where I lost, it was like, I had six Amber going into them having seven. I could only steal one or capture. I couldn't do it enough. But actually, that last game... I remember that's like the one game that just has stuck with me. It was like they were doing a Prospector shenanigans, I think,
mm-hmm.
and had done it. So I can't remember how I got the board state, but like I had a Prospector on my side of the board. Oh, okay. He had the Equidon creature that when you fight, you swap.
Mm-hmm.
So he gave me a Prospector.
Okay.
And they had like 20 cards in the discard pile. I have a burn in the stockpiles. Or not, but Memorialize the Fallen in my deck.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's like, okay, well, I've got a Prospector. I don't have Memorialize in my hand. My one chance is maybe the Prospector will give me Memorialize. Except I had, what's the artifact of Geistoid where you discard until you're haunted?
Yeah. What? Dark Memento.
Dark Memento. So I was like, oh, start a turn. I have three or four cards in my discard. Got to discard from Dark Memento. First card discarded, Memorialize the Fallen.
Oh, no.
And it's like, oh, my God. If I didn't have that artifact to play, the Prospector would have given me the card to make them lose all their
So hands. There it is. Dark Memento yet again comes back to bite us in the butt, huh?
Yep. So I'm just like, I don't know if I ever want to play Dark Memento as a artifact. I think I'll just scrap it every time because of that.
Is there even a scrap effect on
Yeah, Dark the scrap's Memento? Basically to do the same thing.
Oh, okay.
Only you choose right. somebody. So you could do it to your opponent or you could do it to yourself, but I think that's my lesson. Is like, nope, I'm scrapping Dark Memento.
Okay.
Screw that card. That
might be, you're right. That might be a way to do it. That might be a way to do it.
So, yeah. And then, so for Alliance, I'm like, Friday night, I'm like, sure, I'll build an Alliance deck. I've got these three powerful pods and decks, like, so I'll just like put them together. And I lost 0-2 in Alliance. It's like, because people actually brought decks that, you know, were built for it. And mm-hmm. in hindsight, I looked at my Alliance deck. I'm like, oh, I have one or two cards that can capture or steal. That's not a good way to do Alliance because you can't slow your opponent down.
Right.
And it just
right.
didn't have the gas. So I was like, all right. That's fine, whatever. And then, yeah, before Alliance, I got to play one game of Second Amber. And I went against someone with a Archon deck who had naturally three key cheats and Geistoid, Untamed, and Brobnar.
Oh, my God. Might Makes Right. Yeah, Might Makes Right. Spooky Charge. And
yeah. Actually, I had two Might Makes Right forged against me over the weekend.
Oh, Lord.
I was like, okay.
Yeah.
So, but while I was sitting around Saturday night, I decided to buy some Dark Tidings decks and
oh, cool.
and Mass Mutation, like the starter sets like that they have
yeah.
at the Game Center, and some more Menagerie decks.
Oh, wow.
So I was just there and I was sharing them with Luke.
Well, you were also, you started drinking, right? I think right after that Alliance. This is, for those of you who were watching the commentary, this is what I was alluding to, that the alcohol was flowing freely at the Game Center, but no one was eating anything because there wasn't really anything good to eat. So people were drinking. And my partner here, Jason, one who started drinking. I literally looked over and you have a dark stout in your hand drinking it. And I'm like, it's like 4:30, dude.
I completely forgot that I started drinking that early. Oh, yeah. Oh.
So by the time, because you bought all that stuff and you started hanging out with Luke and doing that thing, that was probably while I was doing commentary.
Yeah.
Right?
I was opening decks and sharing them. Cause like, but like one deck I opened, I'm like, hey, there's five Raptors in here. What?
Oh, that's right.
And then I opened a Menagerie deck and then it's like, there's six Raptors in here.
Do you still like Raptors?
Not anymore now. I'm like, I don't like Raptors. That's stupid. That's just like dumb. Like, no, awful. That was no good. But I opened some fun decks and was like sharing with Luke and was like, all right, yeah, that was a lot of fun. Just drinking and opening decks and like
varying quality.
Yeah, varying quality. But it was like, I was also kind of like, maybe I'll get a good Menagerie deck for the next day because I was. The one after playing against you on Thursday, I'm like, I don't have as good of a deck as Tobin does now for Menagerie. And I actually had a great Unchained deck I opened, but I ended up not playing the next day because I had to go back to the car and take a nap.
I was like, why didn't you play? Like, oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, because before I got started, I'm like, sorry, Josh, I'm dropping.
So
and he's like, okay. And then I just walked outside, go to the car, recline, and
sleep.
Yeah, because I hung out with
the Help from Future Self party was a pretty good one.
Yeah, and I ended up hanging out with Wookiee, Draskor, and Josh till 3:30 in the morning, talking and drinking, and oh yeah, that was a thing. And yeah, don't touch Malort, folks. It's not good.
Yeah. So after all that,
yeah,
we.
I don't know. Party.
How did we have dinner? I don't even remember how. I didn't have dinner. We had a very large lunch.
We
had the Indian place. We went to the Indian buffet. Place for lunch. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that really equipped us. We had an extra large lunch. I had some granola bars in my bag that I ate while I was actually commentating.
Right.
And then we went, and I don't drink alcohol, so I was set. But then we go and we play some Skull. Marcus, the regular umpire, referee, judge.
Well, also, Skull,
that was a fun game.
And there was like the sealed random beer with sealed Mass Mutation decks.
Yep. Worlds Collide.
Worlds Collide.
Worlds Collide, yeah.
And I actually, and we were actually forging keys with Cheez-Its. That was our amber. And then when we forged key, we ate all the Cheez-Its because we didn't have our tokens. It was a good time. But my deck, I actually forged the key with Imperial Forge.
Oh, nice.
Like, I actually pulled it off because I had a Star Alliance with the artifact where when you reap, you take amber from the artifact to your pool.
Yeah.
And it, like, some house cheating. And it's like, oh, my God, I've got enough amber on my creatures and enough in my pool that I could do an Imperial Forge key. It's like, it is possible, folks.
It is, yeah. Because it's what, plus 10?
Plus 8.
Plus 8, okay. Minus amber on your creatures.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it was just like, pulled that. I was like, okay, this deck's awesome. The fact that I actually pulled off an Imperial Forge.
Yep.
So
that's cool. So yeah, Help from Future Self Party was really fun.
It was.
I mean, it was there. The one lamentation that I might have, and this was not anything I expected, was there's no cigars. We were inside, right?
It was April
in Roseville. It was still cool outside. There was no smoking on the grounds of the hotel. There was smoking on the grounds of the hotel, but nothing near where we were. So we didn't do anything like we did when we did the cigars, beers, and Planeteers and
smoke stokes, and rubber gun,
that kind of stuff. But we still had a lot of fun. It was a good time.
And so, yeah, then I ended up not really playing any games on Sunday until we got to the airport because I was in recovery mode at that point.
We did our usual Sunday morning at the original House of Pancakes.
Original Pancake House.
We had to sit at the bar because we didn't.
Yeah, we wanted to make sure we could.
Beat the rush.
Yeah, because you were waiting for me to wake up, not realizing that I had been out till 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah, I went to the breakfast room, and Draz and Wookie were there, and they're like, "Yeah, we didn't crack the door till 3:30." I'm like, "Oh man, I wonder when Jason got back. He must have got back before that." And then go talk to you. He's like, "Yeah, no, 3:30. I'm like, "Oh shit, okay, it's 8:30 now. You were drinking, and you've only had 5 hours of sleep. You guys are rock stars." Like literal. That's cool. That's cool. And then we got back on reasonable time on Sunday, and
which was nice. Yeah, we got back, and
we're used to getting back late on Sunday nights from Gen Con or
and KFC.
KFC. So
even come back from Vegas. It was pretty late at night. Mm-hmm. So we got back at a reasonable hour, and then it's been crazy.
All right, so the next, I'm going to Vegas. I made my plans.
You pulled the trigger, huh?
Everything's booked. The vault tour ticket is purchased. The hotel is purchased. The hotel rooms are purchased, and I have something to say about that real quick. And then there's the flight was purchased, so we're copacetic. Now, for those of you who are going to Vegas, listen up, and maybe this has been talked about on The Corner or maybe on Help for Future Self. So here's the thing. Don't do the reservation through Ghost Galaxy's discount because there is more than likely a deeper discount if you're booking 30 days in advance, which if you're booking now, of course, you're booking 30 days in advance for July. The trick is that if you go in to book, if you go to their website, you select the dates, you pick the room, you say book now, the page seems to scroll really quickly and you get to, how do you want to pay? You have to go back up and there was two selections. The one that you had that you just booked under the $129 a night or $139 a night or whatever it might've been.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a second price, a radio button for a second price that's not selected that says $84 a night or $90 a night or whatever it might be.
Whatever, really big discount.
Really big discount.
Wow.
We're talking about, like, I booked a king size because there is a chance that Brenda will come with me.
Okay.
Brenda will meet me there. There is a small chance. So I booked a single king size room for $129.33 a night through their regular site. And because I'm booking ahead of time, and it dropped to $84.07.
What?
Yeah. $45 less.
That's huge.
A night.
Wow.
Now, That's wonderful. I still ended up paying $350 after everything was said and done.
Well, yeah, because there's resort fees.
Because
and taxes.
There's a resort fee of $100.
Yep.
And Brenda was saying that there might be some way to have that resort fee returned to you, but I'm not sure like that's a if that's a optional thing that they just add to it and then you have to pay it or you can get it back if you don't do anything. I don't know. We'll check into that. But that's how I advise you doing this. And we were on the Archon's Corner Discord in the Vault Tour
discussion channel.
Vegas discussion channel. Mm-hmm. And Josh was in there as well and saying, well, this is really weird that there's a deeper discount, but there is. But if if you're booking for $90 a night, you end up getting $150. It's still pretty expensive, right? If you're splitting with someone, that's even better,
right?
But, like if I'm going with me, my wife is going to come with me. We're not splitting with anybody. We're us. But right. Like you can get a lower price by doing that very thing, by seeing that sale price, selecting that sale rate, because you're going to get tagged with the $100 resort fee anyways,
right?
So
might as well save on the
$450 rate. That you're paying for three nights, or the $350 that I'm paying for three nights, I went back in and booked it. It would have been $470 under the GG discount, quote unquote, right?
The hotel which block, is, right?
Yeah, which is weird. Yeah. And Josh did say that GG is not responsible for unused rooms in that block. So go ahead and use. There's the GG does not mind.
Oh yeah, and I mean hotel blocks eventually, if they're not filled, they get released anyways. So
yep, and so. It's a $120 difference for me.
That's huge.
Over the course of three nights. Like, that's a $40 difference a night.
Yeah, anyone could use that.
Again, so hit rewind, hear my description of how to do that again, but go for it. So that's my piece. I'm going to be in Vegas, and we'll see what I play, because that's, mid-July, so it's a while off.
Yep,
so
plenty of time to figure out.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Well, and the... sealed deck you had, that's your largest SAS deck you've ever opened.
yeah, the one that I won with, the three
you went 3-0. It's like, you've been toting around and just happened to open it. Roosevelt's yeah. Like, wait,
yeah, this deck's really good. I've been carrying that deck around for months in my bag,
right?
To and from Total Escape, always sealed, never opened.
Then you open it up and just went, I'm just gonna go 3-0 with this deck,
yeah.
Oh, what's the SAS? Oh, it's 92? What,
yeah. Well, now I have played it on TCO, and now it's back down to like a 55% win rate.
Okay.
Just on TCO, right? So I think I've played it 13, 14 times. I think I've won 7 or 8 and lost the rest.
Sure.
So it's... what I realized, though, in that because I played that deck in real life for the first time, and I played it 3 times, and you don't really know what's going on.
Oh yeah,
you're just kind of playing it. You're just kind of okay. I've got 3 cursed tombs. Okay, cool. Oh, I've got capture pips everywhere. Holy crap! Right, and so it's a very different feeling. And we've said this before, like playing the cards, playing with people. Mm-hmm. We were sitting there on Thursday afternoon, in the hotel lobby, and we're playing with JJ and Jace, you, and then there was another J named Jordan
and then Draskor.
And then Draskor walked by. We were playing, there were 6 of us, yeah. Right? And I was just throwing cards, and you're throwing cards, and they're throwing cards, everybody's throwing cards. And I'm like, I love you guys. Like, it was so fun. It was just to sit there and just play actual cards instead of clicking a mouse on your TCO. Blah, 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 blah. I mean, yes, there's a reward there. That's a pastime for me. Keyforge is a love,
mm-hmm.
And that is fantastic, right? I really love that. I just wish I could play more Keyforge and not give the high roll to my opponents as I've done in the past.
Keep it for yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
But also something else, I don't know if there's much coverage about this, but like also during the Vault Tour, we got to play against Ghost Galaxy and the judges.
Oh, yeah.
Marcus G, yeah. And then
Josh and Luke.
Like we got to play them like games of the weekend, and like Marcus though, I challenged him, like, all right, Marcus, let's go. It's like, all right, let's do Seal Menagerie. Now let's do Seal Menagerie without looking at the list.
Oh no.
And it was so much fun. And then I ended up having Ducilla's packet in there. I was like, oh This deck has Ducillus? Sweet.
Cool. Yeah. All right, so next up, Game Found update comes in.
Part 3, the conclusion.
All right, so anybody who's been following, who's officially following the Game Found, probably got the email that I got about an update.
A little exciting news
with
there.
Some information about pledge tiers and stretch goals. So
Yeah.
This is really cool. So they've got the kind of the typical stuff, right?
Yep.
They've got the novice at $60, gets you a starter set and a couple Archon decks. They've got a Seeker of Decks for 6 Archon decks, $88. The pledge reward, Reaper of Amber, $165 for 12 decks. Deck storage boxes, a set of 12 deck storage boxes. An extra wide custom playmat, so that's new for this time.
Well, same with the storage box.
Yep, in the storage boxes. And then they've got an Amber Skies personalized deck, 1 Amber Skies. The pledge reward, which is the Breaker of Change, which is what I've had done the last couple of...
Right, and I did one found yeah, campaigns. Last time.
Yep. Breaker of Change, 36 decks, 3 deck storage box sets, 1 extra wide custom playmat, 3 personalized Amber Skies decks, 1 Keyforge Super Key. So that's where these are the new things, right?
Super Key.
And a Sky Beast Archon deck, which is probably akin to a Revenant,
right?
Kind of rarity, right?
Sure.
So that's where they come
guaranteed in. Having Sky Beast. In
yeah.
The
so
deck.
The super keys, the extra wide mats, the storage boxes, and the Sky Beasts are the new thing. Now, one of the really cool parts you might have heard me mention: 1 extra wide custom playmat.
Yeah.
That custom playmat that's not tied to your personalized deck. It can be, but it doesn't have to be. You can pick any deck in your Master Vault account.
Oh, I missed that part. Oh,
yes, it's very, very cool. Ooh. Very, very cool.
Ooh.
So you can do that. Pledge the Turner of Keys is $795. So the Breaker of Change is the same price at $450, I think, right?
Yeah.
The Turner of Keys at $795, I think that's the same price, too.
I think some of these went up a little bit.
Yeah, there that one gets you 72 decks, 3 deck storage box sets, 1 custom playmat. So they're limiting the playmats this time.
Yeah.
They're limiting the playmats.
They're not oh, darn.
Yeah. 3 personalized decks, a Keyforge Super Key, a collector's set, 3 Sky Beast Archon decks, a Flumph Plush and a Gruen Plush, which... The Flumph Plush and the Gruen Plush, those are from previous sets.
Yeah.
If people have given at this level or at the level we got, they already have these.
Yeah, I know.
Or if they have them as an add-on.
Yeah, I was a little surprised to see the plushes out there. It's
yeah,
like,
the
plushes people probably already have those.
The plushes should be add-ons. I think the plushes should be add-ons.
I agree.
Because
unless it was a new plush.
Some people have one and don't have the other, but maybe you have both now, right?
I do.
Yeah, so I have... Because
I did the Gruen as an add-on during the last campaign.
Yeah, I don't have Fuzzy Gruen, but I have the Deepwater Gruen. And then, of course... Oh, at that $795 level gets you 3 Sky Beast decks. The $1,500 level gets you a hell of a lot of Archon decks. 3 custom wide playmats. 1 super key. They're only giving away 1 super key per
pledge level.
Yeah. That you can't, you might be able to add on, but I think they want people to get into their, like, if having a super key as an add on would be a bit silly because they want to incentivize people to go to the higher levels.
Yeah.
9 Sky Beast Archon decks. That's a big deal. And then, of course, this is the news, right? This is the $2,000, 1 per backer, only 10 available. You get a whole bunch of Archon decks, you get a whole bunch of storage, you get a whole bunch of everything else. The same as you do in the Architect of the Crucible, except you get a 1 Crucible and Me custom personal artwork in a future set. So you get to put something in there.
Put yourself in the game.
Yep. So the extra wide playmat, this mysterious super key are the big pieces of news coming out of there. The Sky Beasts are the kind of the Revenant rare kind of chase right. cards. It'll be interesting to see how those turn out.
And they also announced the first two stretch goals.
They did, and I'm looking at them. The $200,000 level, they'll let you know what the next set is. They'll include a preview pack containing the preview cards of several of the cards of the next set. And then stretch goal two at the $300,000 level is Flight of the Sky Beasts. And each of these decks, if we get to the $300,000 level, then each person is guaranteed to get a Amber Skies deck with one ultra rare Sky Beast card.
Cool.
We'll unlock a special deck to be included with each. Yeah. So you get an additional deck at the $300 level, $300,000 mark, and it has a Sky Beast card in it.
So similar to the Revenant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Which is cool.
So the only criticism I have is why include the plushies?
Right.
It seems like the plushies are,
I think they just be add-ons.
The deck boxes are cool. We do need storage solutions are always nice. I don't mind those. I don't know that I'll use them very much, but they are.
I'm interested to see how well they work and the quality of them. Mm-hmm. But I'm more interested. What is this super key?
Yeah, I think I know, and we talked about this offline, but I'm not going to say anything because...
Yeah.
But I'm on record, damn it. I'm on record.
Yes, Jason. You told me, I don't know. I really didn't want to go that higher level, but I might.
The $285?
Well, no, and it's like, but the extra decks, I might I go in with other people like, all right, let's split some... of the product, you get some more decks, but I get the super key.
Well, and understand, there one thing that wasn't mentioned explicitly here is there is going to be a home base for KeyForge. Retailer program. There's still the retailer program that you would identify where it is you went, and if the store gives towards the GameFound campaign, mm-hmm. they will get better stuff, better rates, who the hell knows what. The more people say... Their home base is that store.
Yeah. Right? And then, maybe that will be in the kits for the stores is like more super keys to give out to people to compete for.
Yeah.
That'd be a great way to energize the local scene.
This thought just occurred to me. So if you don't have a local store,
mm-hmm.
if you're in a place where they're not going to give to the GameFound campaign and they don't have a local store and you can't convince them for anything, figure out somebody else's local store, like, I don't know, Total Escape Games in Broomfield, Colorado, and tag them as your store, as your KeyForge home base.
Mm-hmm.
Give those stores something. Don't,
the stores that actually...
I'd like to see you vote. So vote for, I don't know, anything near you or anything that, for people you like or what have you, or Total Escape Games in Broomfield, Colorado.
Shameless plug.
Right. So I think that's really, really cool.
Yeah.
That's really, really cool. So
show our support to the local game stores.
And that'll be coming up. That thing is opening as we sit here 4 days from now.
Right.
So as you listen to this, make sure and check. Maybe there's been another update even. But Thursday morning, I think 10 a.m. Central Time or 9 a.m. Colorado Time, I'm pretty sure, which I think is the same as 10 a.m. Central.
Yep. But they're an hour ahead.
Mm-hmm. It's all good. All right, so we have one more segment for you. This is going to be a semi-regular.
Maybe.
Who the hell knows? Yeah. And then Jason's going to come up with one too. But this is the first installment of this regular segment. And now, Dr. T's gaming thoughts. Come for the knowledge, stay for the cigars. All right, so one thing that I've figured out as a teacher, as a professor, as a facilitator of learning, and a gamer. One of the things that you should not do when you sit down, especially in a two-player game. Multiplayer games a little bit different, but in a two-player game, in like this one, competitive, KeyForge, Magic, Star Wars Unlimited, Larkana, who the hell cares, who the hell knows, whatever it might be.
Catan.
No, Catan is a four-player game, multiplayer game.
You can play as two-player.
You can play as two-player, I suppose. But don't say things like, you'll totally beat me, or oh, this is going to be tough for me to win, or I'm totally going to lose, or my deck really sucks compared to yours. Yours looks so good. Or anything similar to that. And I say that because you can totally think it as much as you want.
Right.
You can look at that deck just like I did and go, I am never going to have an amber. I don't know what the hell I'm going to do here. But I don't say it. I don't say anything.
Right. You internalize it, but don't verbalize it.
Correct. Because it's a lose-lose for your opponent.
Mm-hmm.
It sets your opponent up so that if your opponent wins, well, you've already cut off that the meaning of that victory off at the knees by saying, well, my deck sucks, and so right? Mm-hmm. I think my deck sucks might be the worst one of these that I've kind of teased with, right? Well, my deck sucks. I doubt I'm going to win. Because you've already said, oh, well, if you win, it's expected. Right. And who you know, so your achievement in beating me is not that big a deal.
Right, because my deck sucks.
But if I win, then it must be due to my skill or your inability, your lack of skill.
Right.
So it's a lose-lose for your opponent. Right. And the way I came about this is because in facilitating learning, the worst thing you can do is stand up in front of a class or tell somebody on a one-on-one that, quote unquote, this is easy.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because it's doing exactly the same thing. It's setting up a lose-lose for whoever you're talking to. If you say, oh, 2 + 2 = 4, this is easy. Whatever it might be saying, whatever you're saying, this is easy about. The people that know it don't feel pride in understanding it and knowing it.
Right, because it was easy.
Because it was easy, so it's not a big deal.
Like, who cares?
Know it.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Mm-hmm.
And the people that don't understand it and can't get it on immediately or soon enough, they feel bad because they should.
Right.
So you have somebody feeling bad because they're not feeling good because they know it. And you have people feeling bad because they don't. Bad juju. That's not good. It's
squishy.
It's literally the worst thing a teacher can say is that this is easy. I really want to say it a lot.
Yeah.
But I don't. I say other things.
Such as?
This can be challenging. Mm-hmm. Some of you might find this process very linear, right? When I'm sitting in front of an opponent, I say, okay, well, let's see what happens, right? Usually when we're playing each other, you know, in a formal tournament, you're both 0-1. You're both the same record. You're both 1-1. You're both 0-1. You're both 1-2. Well, not 1-2 and 2-0, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And so you have the same record. So there's no reason to believe you can't beat him, you or she can't beat you, or whoever it might be. Right? Don't set them up to have that lose-lose feeling. Say good game. Let's have a good game. Let's have some fun. Let's play some Keyforge.
Let's see what happens.
Right? Just if you want to say something, say that.
Yep.
Let's see what happens. Let's go.
Or let's do some Keyforge.
Yep.
Okay. Yep.
Yep.
That's Keyforge. It's okay. Yeah.
So that's a bit of my gaming knowledge. This has been Dr. T's Gaming Thoughts. Now for the smoke. All right, so lately I've been reading Dune, the Dune books. I've read the first two of the five that Frank Herbert wrote.
Well, and because Dune 2 also came to theaters
Dune
recently.
Dune 2 came to theaters, yep. I've been reading The Witcher, the third Witcher book. That's what I'm currently reading. But two of the things that I'm watching are Star Trek Discovery, which is fun. If you're a Star Trek fan, you will love Discovery. So fun. And then I started watching Fallout. On Amazon Prime, and I didn't play the game. I don't know nothing of the universe, but it's a entertaining show. It's very cool.
Great games.
Yeah. So
great show too.
That's what I've been up
from
to.
What
lately.
I've seen.
I know what you've been up to, but why don't you share it with our listeners?
Finally move into my house that I bought on February 1st. Last night installed the kitchen sink. Went till 12:30 in the morning getting that done. Because we ended up having to do some demo work and cutting out marble, which, yeah, that was fun. No. and then we got done. It's like, oh, and then the movers are coming at 9 a.m. and they actually came at 8:30 and
yep.
got my furniture moved over, so I'm like, okay, now I finally have to actually go to my apartment. And then yesterday was my last day volunteering for volunteer income tax assistance, helping mm-hmm. people with tax returns. And I did over 100 hours this season.
Cool. Congratulations. Thanks for that, man. It's really cool. I'm sure a lot of people appreciate the help you gave them.
Yeah, it's been fun, but I'm tired.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to having my Saturdays back.
Yeah, so because you do it for about 3 months, right?
Yeah, basically like that first weekend of February through tax day.
Yeah, so 2.5 months. Yeah,
Two and a half months.
Wow. Cool.
So, yeah. But yeah, the big thing's the move, finally, to actually live at a place I bought.
Cool. Are you going to put up the posters, the KeyForge personalized deck posters in your house?
I might. Because I am going to have an office.
There's a lot of wall space in that place.
There is a lot of wall space. So maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why not?
Decorative art.
Yes. Of course. Cool.
If you'd like to join the discussion, have ideas for future episodes, feedback, or questions for us, you can contact us through our Discord or via email at thewarcast2023@gmail.com. Please leave a review. It helps others find the cast. Thanks for listening, and remember,
Forge ahead.